And fifth, and this goes back to thinking about factorial designs to check on confounding. This is kind of like what we did in the very first laboratory, where you did your analysis looking at the relationship between the IV and the DV. Then you checked out if some potential confounds had mean differences, and if they were, they got promoted from potential confounds to goddamn confounds. This is the same sort of thing. We're going to evaluate initial equivalence when random assignment is not possible. So as before, often our research starts with a simple hypothesis and a two-group design. In order to causally interpret the results, we'd have to have initial equivalence, but we can't always have random assignment and manipulation. So what can we do to help interpret the post-treatment differences? We can compare the groups before treatment too. And that is once again a mixed factorial. When I look at post-treatment, when I just look at post-treatment, all the information I had in the earlier two-condition study, when I look at that, I say to myself, looks like treatment one does better than treatment two. It's the only conclusion possible if you only have post-data. You can worry about confounding, but you have no evidence for or against it if you only look at the post. Let me say that again. If you just look at the post, forget that you have the rest of it. Now remember you have the rest of it. When I look at the pre, I'm no longer interested in treatment one, because for some reason, before these groups got treated, the people in the treatment one already had a higher score than the people in treatment two. And so the difference at post-test is not treatment one versus treatment two. It's the difference between the treatment one group and the treatment two group that existed before treatment. So a clear indication of confounding. It looks like neither of the treatments did a damn thing. And the difference that you apparently get from the post-treatment is some initial equivalence failure. Once again, different patterns of data get interpreted differently. So here's that same 40-20. If I just look here, treatment one looks pretty good. When I look at the whole data pattern, treatment two looks benign. Treatment one looks horrible, under the assumption that bigger scores are better. So there was a huge confounding here, and then the treatment actually made things worse for these people, bringing them closer to the ones that were initially in the dumper. And so when we have these pretest data, we reinterpret this to treatment two's benign, don't know why you'd bother, treatment one, run screaming. Now this is the one that causes the biggest argument, and it should. If I look here, I got a 20-point post difference. It looks like treatment one's better than treatment two. If I look here, I clearly have pre-treatment confounding, but I only have 10 points of confounding, right? Performance went up here 20, but it went up here 30. It looks like treatment one is more better than treatment two. But the problem is, we don't know where things started. We do know that there's a difference here, and that difference might have been part of why we got a bigger difference. So this is tempting. And what you do is you look for replication, and you think about whether you really believe that 20-point versus that 10-point difference. And the one on the end, like it says, it's in green, and it's as good as it gets. I have initial equivalence. My pretest is comparable. The slippery bit of this is to say initial equivalence on the DV is tantamount to initial equivalence on all subject variables. Now, as soon as you say that, it becomes fairly unpalatable, doesn't it? But welcome to the real world of data analysis and the notion of better than nothing. That is better than any of the others. Certainly better than the yellow above it. And so initial equivalence on a pretest in a mixed factorial design is way better than nothing, but not the same as random assignment. If you wanted to bolster this, you would have multiple subject variables and show that there's no pretest difference on the groups on multiple variables that might be expected to drive treatment improvement. So if you can show there's no pretest difference and there's no subject variable differences on really important variables, even better than nothing, but still not the same as proper random assignment of individuals, which is still our magic stick.